Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The biggest breaking news stories, an outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
Good morning to you. This is Talk Radio Breakfast with me, Julia Hartley Brewer. Thank you so much for your company. I don't even know where to start today in terms of the stories. Now, do we start with, all the other non-political stories? Do we start with the Partygate ongoing allegations? There's been another party revealed. Seriously, when were these people not having a party? The idea these people needed to be having a bit of a break because they've been working so hard is laughable now we know how many parties they were having. I don't think I've had that many parties in my entire life. Or do we talk about the dead cat strategy from the Prime Minister and not pretend to try and basically take our attention elsewhere onto things like channel migrants, NHS backlogs and the like. And it's quite something when the Prime Minister would rather have us talking about the absolute abject failure of the government to tackle channel migrants problem. I mean, thousands upon thousands coming every single month. And indeed, the NHS backlog, a direct result, not of the pandemic, but of NHS and lockdown policies decided by the government. So it's quite something if they think that is better. This on the day it's revealed that Boris Johnson has been questioned by Sue Gray, the second permanent secretary of the Cabinet Office, who's carrying out that investigation into Partygate. I think it would be extraordinary if she hadn't spoken to him. I find it bizarre she hadn't spoken to him already. Maybe you do as well. Anyway, we're going to talk about all of this. Got lots of top guests coming. And I'm delighted to say that Alan Tolhurst, chief reporter at Politics Home, is joining me all this morning for the chat as well. Good morning to you, Alan.
Morning, Julia. How are you doing?
Very well indeed. Great to have you on for the whole morning instead of just the odd political bit of commentary. Really good to have you join us. Let's start with Partygate. More revelations over the weekend, not just involving Boris Johnson, but involving his staff, but also some allegations against Keir Starmer, which are interestingly old allegations. They've been on the front page of papers before, him having a drink during a by-election campaign. I've got to be honest with you, I'm not particularly stirred up by the Keir Starmer story. I think that actually he's probably not done something that is as questionable as what would appear to be routinely breaking the rules in number 10 Downing Street. In terms of Boris's supposed fight back, this sort of, you know, tackling the channel migrants issue, putting the military in charge, tackling the NHS backlog, do you think that the voters are going to go, oh, fair enough, we're back on the job, let's leave Partygate behind us?
No. And so there's two strategies. Operation Save Big Dog, apparently, is one of them,
yes.
Which is the strategy to try and blame other people within Number 10 for, yeah, essentially, while he was doing other stuff, they were having parties, suitcases, yeah, of wine, and they're the ones going to take the blame while he gets off with a sort of a slap on the wrist. And the other one is Operation Red Meat, which is, like you say, all these kind of policies they're going to be starting out. So I actually think the tactic of announcing these policies is more to try and placate Tory MPs, particularly, rather than the public, because I think the public are the ones who are going to make the ultimate judgment at an election. But actually, the people who are going to potentially remove him from office currently are the MPs rather than
that's the key thing, isn't it? There's a very big difference between the polling, which shows really people are angry about this. And the fascinating thing about the Partygate thing is it unites both those of us like me who have been opposed to lockdown policies for most of this time, who thinks the restrictions were outrageous and unnecessary, and we should have just had, you know, guidance for those who were vulnerable, that these people were making rules for us when they didn't need to. They knew they weren't necessary because they clearly didn't think they were at risk. Well, why were they not at risk, but I was? And people who were very much, you know, I mean, I'm law-abiding, they've done the right thing. I'm thinking of so many relatives of mine who, you know, who've missed out on so many things and who thought that the lockdowns were the right idea. And we've had, you know, big family rows about it, for goodness sake. But they thought it was all the right idea. And now they're furious that the people making the rules weren't making them. You've got two massive big tranches of people on completely opposing views on lockdown, but are united in their fury. I mean, and it is fury at this blatant rule breaking on what it would appear every other night of the year.
Yeah, completely. And it makes, I've heard people say, you know, that they feel foolish. They feel stupid for having stuck to the rules because the people who were in charge of making the rules within Downing Street, within number 10, weren't following those rules. Effectively, they just thought that, you know, it's the Labour attack line, that it's one rule for them and one rule for us. I think a lot of people do feel that that is the case, given that they hear, you know, as you say, there's another story in the Mirror today about another party, another leaving do, you know, and the fact that they kept having these events, it does make people think that, well, what was the point of of sticking to those rules?
And again, we're not talking about people missing out and having a party themselves, although, you know what, the right to have people over to your home is normally considered a pretty fundamental right, one of the things that makes life worthwhile, in my view, seeing your family and friends. But also the amount of people who missed out on saying goodbye to loved ones, the funerals with the, you know, 10 people socially distanced. I mean, I don't know anybody who doesn't have a story to tell about that time, about what they or their family members or loved ones missed out on. And the anger, I mean, it's visceral, isn't it? And we know that Tory MPs, like Labour MPs, have gone back to their constituencies. They've come back to Parliament today. And they're going to be reporting back on what was said. Now, there's been some polling, there's been some focus group work showing people, you know, across the country are absolutely furious, whatever their politics. The question is, as you say, does that mean that Tory MPs will decide to ditch Boris Johnson, and how can they do it? I've read something over the weekend suggesting some 40 letters have gone in from MPs to the 1922 backbench committee suggesting, you know, basically they want a leadership election. We need 54. We have no way of knowing for sure who's written a letter, whether they've written a letter or how many have gone in. There could be one, there could be 53. We don't know. We won't know until there are those 54. But even then, is it obvious who would take over? Is it obvious that should happen? I know a lot of people who are furious about this, but are wary of who might take over.
Yeah, exactly. I think what's interesting about, we talk about the numbers of letters, you know, even if you got to 54, that would simply trigger the start of the process of replacing him. If you remember, Theresa May found herself in this situation a couple of years ago, and there was a vote of no confidence in her. She actually then won that vote of no confidence, which meant that she couldn't be challenged for another year. So the fact is that even if we got to the number 54, and I think, to be honest, we're a long way actually, I think, from 54, even if we did, it would then trigger a vote. Boris Johnson doesn't look like he's going to resign. He would then have to lose that vote, which means he'd have to have at least 180 Tory MPs voting against him. I really don't think we're anywhere near those.
And an awful lot of those 180 people who are going to be on the payroll would have to say, right, I'm going to vote against the guy who's paying my mortgage right now, effectively.
Right, exactly. And we know there is anger amongst some of those ministers, but they're definitely not at that point yet. So I think, although there is anger, I think we're several steps away.
Yes.
And like you say, there's still a chance that we don't know who, there's no sort of unifying figure to take over.
Indeed. I mean, it's very much everyone thinks that, you know, smart money is on Rishi Sunak or Liz Truss, don't they? But so the big thing is waiting for the Sue Gray report. Now, of course, she apparently, we're now told, has questioned the Prime Minister. Bizarre if she hadn't. Bizarre that she's waited so long. She's supposed to be very, you know, steely-minded, independent. Nevertheless, she's basically being asked to rule on what actually not just the Prime Minister, but also an awful lot of her own civil servants on whether they've broken the rules. I don't think this is as independent as people seem to claim it is. Word is that she's not going to find a illegal criminal action that the Met are going to be called in. And people are saying it's already going to be a bit of a sort of civil service-y type whitewash. And we don't know as yet, of course. But the question is, that does that placate people? Because we've got the key thing coming up is we've got the cost of living crisis, energy crisis. We've got this massive big tax hit, the national insurance. We've got council tax going up 1st of April. And then a month later, May the 5th, we've got the local elections. And that is when most MPs are going to be waiting to see what happens there whether Tory voters switch to another party, whether it's Labour, whether it's Reform Party or whatever, or they sit on their hands more likely and just don't come out to vote. Tories could be losing a lot of seats, could have a very, very, very bad midterm election. But if they think that, that Boris Johnson is no longer the vote winner he was, that's when things could get hard for him, whether or not he's dealt with a migrant crisis or NHS backlog, because realistically, he's not going to deal with either of those in the next couple of months, is he?
No, no. I think certainly the Channel migrant thing, it's such an intractable problem.
Yeah.
Just handing the military the control isn't suddenly going to magic up a solution to what has been an impossible thing. I think you're right. A lot of MPs I've spoken to have talked about the May elections. The fact is that Johnson was never that popular amongst MPs. Yeah. That's what was kind of transactional, seeing him as being seen as a winner. And actually what's interesting is that in the way that local elections work is that the seats that are up for grabs this year were last up for grabs in 2017. And actually the Conservatives had a really good local elections in 2017. So they're sort of from a historic high point. So therefore it could be a chance that they really fall off a cliff and lose hundreds of councillors. And like you said, that could be the trigger point. I think a lot of MPs at the moment think that given that we're still under restrictions, Omicron is not sort of, we've not reached a point where we've moved beyond that, they think that perhaps it would be a little bit self-indulgent to have a leadership election now. If by the time we get to May, we are beyond that, it could be then we trigger a leadership election in the summer, a new leader is brought
it's
in.
It's a very good point about self-indulgent, isn't it? People are really, really terrified about whether they can afford their heating bills and really worried about getting the economy and everyone. By the time of the next election, every single person listening right now, every person in this country is going to know someone who is waiting for an operation or some vital treatment in the NHS. And those are going to be absolutely crucial issues. Let's turn our attention to the BBC. Big story yesterday, and again, is this part of the Dead Cat's Rashie announcement from the Culture Secretary Nadine Dorries that the BBC licence fees could be frozen for the next 2 years. Amid the cost of living crisis. And also realistically, this licence fee deal ends on in 2027 if the Tories are still in charge. Question mark over that now, despite that big majority. In 2028, they'll be looking for a new funding arrangement in the era of Netflix and other streaming platforms. Realistically, this is always going to happen. The BBC people have been bleating away over the weekend, tweeting out about, great value for money, 43p a day. But the point is, if it's such great value for money, then people will pay for it anyway. But people are being forced to pay for it, whether they use it or not. And the BBC is huge. I mean, it's a £3.5 billion budget, for goodness sake. They can cut some corners. I mean, I could probably cut £1.5 billion off their budget today with just a few dashes of the pen.
Right. But I think what's interesting is that, it's that Nadine Dorries is the person who's announced this, and she's one of the biggest Boris loyalists. So the timing of it does look really interesting. And as a couple of MPs said that, this was not expected. There's a grid of announcements. This was clearly bumped right to the top of that. Yeah. In a sense, to try and improve the ratings of the Prime Minister. And I think if that's the decision, then I don't, I think that it doesn't sit very well with me to think that you're sort of, playing with the BBC in order to try and boost your flagging.
Yes, you can make the decision, but it should be separate from the dead cat strategy to save the Prime Minister, and indeed views about the BBC. Although, again, I think the BBC has put themselves into this position. I think they're blatant political bias and on everything, and they're meddling in culture wars and all of that. I think the BBC have brought this on themselves.
Potentially, but I do think that then, focus on BBC and its news division, because like you said, the BBC is a big, big corporation that does lots of fantastic things outside of that. And there's lots of programmes that we all watch and we all listen to. And so therefore, I think, to feel like they're being attacked over members of their news division, and therefore that's going to, for example, cut down on the other cultural output they do, I think that looks quite short-sighted.
I think it's all over. It's in there. It's in CBeebies. It's in all their dramas. They put it into everything. I think they've brought this on themselves. They've only themselves to blame on this. I'd love them to go back. I'm quite happy for there to be a tax to pay for a BBC as a sort of neutral news organisation. But I mean, I think Netflix has proven to us we don't really need them for the high quality drama. I don't think there's any better drama than you're getting from Netflix right now. I don't think BBC is competing at all on that front.
The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and give me a good review. And don't forget to catch me on the Talk Radio Breakfast Show every weekday from 6:30 until 10.